Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
Can't complain. 72 degrees here, not a cloud in the sky finally. So yeah, sorry if it's snowing wherever everybody else is.
Yeah, it's been a snowy week here in Canada. So yeah, the shoveling is out. full force. Full press coverage, full press shoveling as well today. Anyway, not that we're pressed for time, but let's just get right into it and talk about the Packers, right? And you know, we're in the 2021 offseason, and I mean, at this point, we're recording this on February 24th. We actually haven't had full confirmation on what the NFL salary cap will be for 2021. What they have announced at this point is that $180 million is the absolute lowest. That still doesn't mean it's $180 million. I know there were some reports that came out maybe a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that they thought anywhere between 180 to 186. I do wonder if it creeps closer to that 186. I'm still not entirely convinced it doesn't just stay at 192. That they don't find money somewhere to borrow from future years to do that. But for now, we know it won't be lower than 180.
Yeah, the NFL's a money generator. So if these owners are going to try to pull that, you know they're just they're pinching pennies because, yeah, I hope it does, the higher the better, right? That's what we want. But they can find it if they want to.
Yeah, I do think, and while, they're – that whole issue aside, the Packers themselves are trying to find cap space within their own franchise, their own team, and ways to create more of that cap space. We talked briefly last week, restructured a David Bakhtiari's contract. The savings continue. now I sound like an advertiser, but not to sound so cheery, because it does, in this case, not through a restructure, but actually with the release of two players. Both signed last season to some two-year contracts that were seemingly mostly front-loaded in terms of guarantees. So Christian Kirksey and Ricky Wagner, they both played pretty well last year to varying degrees. There are times Kirksey certainly struggled, but there are also times we made some great plays. And Wagner started quite a few games at right tackle, certainly played in even more of those that he didn't start. So he was a key factor. Last memory of him, yeah, they didn't protect so well on the edges against the Buccaneers, but for the most part, Wagner played pretty well this year. So good contributions in 2020, but unfortunately will no longer be with the team in 2021. The move does save over $8 million in cap space. So between that and the Bakhtiari restructure, they saved upwards of $16 million in cap space. So shrewd moves already right off the start of the 2021 offseason for Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get under that cap number. So, I don't think they're really surprising moves. I'll say with Wagner, they said he was contemplating, retirement now and stuff. So I think he was a little bit more of a surprise because, hey, that was a starting, tackle in the league, right tackle in the league that, the Chiefs would have wished they had him in the Super Bowl. Granted, he struggled against Tampa Bay, but he was serviceable, right? And I think Kirksey played his best football in the playoffs. So front-loaded deals where there are rentals, where there are easy outs. I don't see Kirksey back, but maybe if Wagner, the Packers could have been like, hey, we can't do it right now. Go test the market if you can see something, but maybe we'll be in talks later. Maybe like another rental deal. So I wouldn't be surprised. Not saying it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, major moves had to be made, and we made them.
It's funny, because it wasn't just the tackle play with the Chiefs. Receivers dropped a lot of footballs. That was, or just frankly, just couldn't get open at all. A little bit easier, actually, for the Packers. It's almost as if, the complaint of, the Packers really needed a receiver wasn't true. Maybe it was more true for the Chiefs, at least needed that third guy that they could rely on. Whereas, the Packers certainly, at points this year had a legit number two receiver. There's maybe stretches in between where a certain player struggled or another player was injured, but there was a game this year where Alan Lazard was the number one receiver for the Packers against the Saints, and it was very needed in a win, a really tightly contested game, and Alan Lazard was dominating against Marshawn Lattimore. So certainly if he didn't get hurt in that game and was basically injured the rest of the year, I I've said through my eyes, watching him even in the NFC Championship game, he still looked not 100%. So I think the entire season was just derailed by injury, and he still was able to make plays here and there, but certainly those first 3 weeks of the season, you saw it with Lazard. Like, he was very clearly ready to step up as the number two, and then Valdes-Scantling really took that over at the end of there. Yes, drops. Yes, the fumble in overtime against the Colts, but for the most part, Valdes-Scantling had some games where he was playing really well. Certainly was the case against the Buccaneers in the championship game. Definitely, you know, the lack of targets for him was the case, not the lack of draw, like the lack of receptions. I mean, he was great. They just didn't target him enough in that game, I felt. So, mostly to rant to say that the whole wide receiver case is, I think, overstated for the Packers, and it might be the case again this year. I don't know if everyone's going to be clamoring for the Packers to take wide receiver in the first round. If the value's there, sure. But I mean, I right now my early take is don't force the issue on a position.
Yeah, with that whole thing. Yeah, I agree 100%. I actually just watched that Saints game again. It was on the NFL Network a couple days ago, and he was so good in that game. Like, you watched how crisp he looks. He did not look the same again. You are 100% right. That guy, he's a warrior that he came back that quick, because they didn't even have a timeline on his injury, first of all. And the man came back. So, you know, that's awesome. But, yeah, like I said in my article last week, you know, everybody complains about the Packers' lack of talent in pass catchers. It's overstated. We're not the worst in the league. We're not the best in the league, but we're not the worst. We can get by. We're the number one scoring offense. They're doing something right, right? I think our guys are fine, but the big thing is, nobody signed past this next season, 2021. We don't have anybody. So that's scary, right? I mean, especially like where we're kind of tight with money right now. Well, it doesn't get any easier down the road. So, yeah, you want to find that guy if you can find him. But, yes, you don't push the issue. And there, one thing I will say, that we are missing a certain body type. We have good receivers, but we're missing, you know, that slot, get open, make a play, you know, run away from the defense. You know, you look at our guys, they're good long striders and MVS and stuff like that, but we don't have that little guy that can create that separation in short areas and then maybe take a 3-yard screen to the house. So, and with Aaron Jones more than likely not coming back, you know, he was the only guy really on the roster that had that type. So it's a need going into the year, but it's not because lack of talent, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good point, because they are, yeah, you're right, the certain body type, the certain role. I mean, like, a guy like Adams, he can do everything, right? But you would like, obviously, you can't replicate that, but someone, he's about the only one that you can say is like as a quick twitch slot receiver. He could just do everything else as well and excel at all of it. But yeah, not much in that specific type of role. That's a good point.
Yeah, and even with Adams, like, he has those, he can separate, no doubt. Like, his footwork and his feet are amazing. But he doesn't have that explosive, okay, he caught it, he's taking it to the house, no problem. You know what I mean? Like, he'll pick up yardage, and that's not a knock. That's just his style. No one's going to call him a burner. He's not a burner. But, you know, like a guy like Kadarius Toney, who might be there at 29 if he's there, that's an explosive kind of guy that has that trait. Or, you know, like Marquise Stevenson later in the draft. I know I'm getting to my draft stuff now because I love it. But these guys are those kind of body types that get the ball in their hands and they can take it to the house anytime. They're just a lightning bug. It's crazy.
I mean, frankly, the Packers haven't really had anyone that excelled like that since Randall Cobb was in his prime. That 2014 season, like, that was kind of like the how you could basically push the limit on the max of that, like, pure slot receiver.
Exactly. A broken play. Guess what? Rodgers is looking for Cobb because he's going to get open, you know, and that's that body type where if you add that to this offense, I mean, the sky's the limit. Granted, you know, rookies, it's hard to do, but, you know, even if it's in a limited role where they're obviously not going to see the top corners or anything where they can win their battles. So, yeah, just something to think about.
Excellent points. And all to say that, you know, back to what I was trying to transition into, Valdes-Scantling in particular played really well. So well that he's actually earned a performance escalator in his contract for this season, which is, I believe, is his last season on his rookie contract. So his salary goes up an additional $1.2 million to over $2 million now. So he's more than doubled what his salary was going to be this year. And, you know, incentives later on too, to add on top of that. But so far, a little bump in spending there. So while he did save some money, like we mentioned, about $16 million between the Bach restructure and Wagner and Kirksey's releases, you know, this may push that down to maybe only about 15 now in terms of the net savings they've had from this offseason so far. But I mean, I think it's a problem you'd like to have, is that someone plays well enough to have that performance escalator. I mean, again, going up to $2.1 million, not a huge deal. $2.183 to be exact. So $2.2 really. I should be able to round up better. But it's, I mean, again, it's a good problem to have, that Valeskantling played so well enough to earn that.
I was just listening to something yesterday too, and people are still knocking this cat. Like, listen, okay, we know what he is, right? He's a big play waiting to happen. He was the best in the league on big plays last year. Sure, he's not your typical number two. Sure, he's never going to be your wide receiver one. But he's a good enough – take drops aside. That's the only thing everybody focuses on his bad drops and that fumble. Yes, it's terrible. It sucked. It happens. Guess what? Devontae dropped a touchdown pass against the Buccaneers in that game too. It happens. But this guy's a good wide receiver to have on your team. I'm happy that he got those escalators because he deserves it. And you know what? You add one more wrinkle to this offense if you can get that different kind of receiver. Imagine how that offense is then. You have him over the top that you have to respect, and then you got a zone beater if they find that guy, a guy that can just destroy the zone underneath. How do you stop this offense? It was the best offense in the league. Like, 30-some points isn't enough, right? We need to score 40 every week so people are happy. So good for MVS. That's my little rant on that.
I mean, to answer your question, refer to the NFC Championship game on how to stop them. But, I mean, it wasn't the receivers. That was the lack of David Bakhtiari. The pass rush was too much, right? And I think we both agreed that Valdes-Scantling was one of the three or four best Packers players in that game. Like, he did his job. I mean, it was 4 catches off 6 targets. I mean, I believe one of them was almost a kind of like a throwaway type thing, and the other one was just well defended. Like, he didn't drop at either of those targets in that game. Like, he did his job. He scored the big long touchdown. He kind of helped keep that a contest. It was the only touchdown they scored in the first half, if I remember correctly. I'm trying not to remember that game that much.
Yeah, well, no, he was needed, right? Like, that's a different game without him, for sure. So you need these role players. You know, he's a specialist in the big play, right? Like, hey, you need guys like that. And I like the kid. I really do. You know, he could have folded so many times,
and you can just tell that he doesn't. And Rodgers trusts him. So that says something. So we can move on from that now, I guess.
Good point about his mental toughness. Like, it's like the Colts game, that could have just wrecked it for him, right? But you even saw him kind of tweeting even that night, I believe, kind of like, oh, yeah, I'll take this criticism, whatever. I'm coming back stronger. Like, so he almost immediately kind of, I'm going to get past this. We're going to keep going. And I feel like he played his best stretch of football, maybe in his career, after that Colts game.
I agree 100%. And that's even more credit to him.
Maybe that's someone and you already mentioned it, Jesse. No one, none of the wide receivers for the Packers are signed beyond 2021. So, you know, this is kind of ready for an extension. Obviously, I think, you know, the cap situation as it is, it probably slowing down the process on a lot of extensions that might happen with a lot of players. So, you know, Valeskantling, that might be something they don't deal with until next year. But we'll see what, you know, if he does well enough in season, they might have no choice then. One thing to want to look at, and I guess we'll transition into that by talking about Devontae Adams' contract. Because I think, okay, so he's, you know, due $16.78 million this year. Final year of his contract. Is that something that they can extend and have kick in now, you know, get a big bonus that you can spread out over three, four years, whatever he wants to sign? Again, Devontae Adams, I believe, going into age 28 season, probably looking to make this a last big payday. So, you know, does he want it? For even 5 years, is that something that the Packers are more willing to do now just because they've seen what he can do? They know his game isn't based on sheer athleticism. It's based on technique. And this is the type of game that ages well. Like, you know, when he reaches age 31, 32, he's not going to just suddenly forget how to play wide receiver. Yeah, he might not be as effective anymore, but he'll still, you know, he still has all that footwork, that technique, that, you know, assuming he remains healthy, of course. So that's maybe something. Can they push that contract limit to maybe 5 years and really spread a signing bonus money out over that to knock this cap hit down this year?
Yeah, I'm sitting here right now just nodding my head like, yes, yes, and yes. So I honestly think that's going to be the next, you know, I mean, there's going to be more cuts, but like that's the next thing that we're going to hear. Like we heard Bach restructure. I mean, I think in the next week or two, because what we have about a little over 2 weeks into March that they have to have it done. I'm like, it's a no-brainer, right? You know, restructure Adams. So you don't go into that, you know, this dead year with him. Give him to where, you know, he's 32, 33. That's his third contract, and move some money around. You know, and you look at it, it's just the timing with that. It makes perfect sense because it'll be the end of the Rodgers era. So then all that'll be coming off the books where just keep moving money, right? That's kind of what the NFL is. Just keep pushing back, pushing back, pushing back. Give them their guarantees. Give them the stuff that doesn't take the big cap hits now. But that's a no-brainer. And what you're seeing about his game, 100%. His game's not his long speed. His game is his footwork and possession stuff. That's not going anywhere. That stuff ages good. Like, you know, you look at the Larry Fitzgeralds and guys like that. They were never known to be that super explosive guy. They were the technicians, the guys that they did all the little things right. And that's Adams. So, yeah, he's not going to hit a wall anytime soon. You know, I'd be surprised if it's not 5 years. It would almost blow my mind, but it needs to happen. That would just help the team out too.
So currently Adams does sit third on the team in cap hit. Everyone on the team pales in comparison to Aaron Rodgers. There are six players on the Packers currently with cap hits of double-digit millions. Aaron Rodgers at $37.6 million. Za'Darius Smith, $21.5 million. I already mentioned Adams at $16.8 million. At $16 million even is Preston Smith, David Bakhtiari at $11 million, and then Adrian Amos just over $10 million. Now, I guess just quickly, one of those things really doesn't belong with the others, right? In terms of play quality, I think there's a very easy out. You know, you look at the money too in terms of, you know, who can be released and how you can save money with that. And it seems like there's an obvious play. I think we've already mentioned it on previous episodes of the podcast.
Yeah, I mean it's Preston, of course. You know, like that's a big contract. Again, like, you know, you straight up cut him. Guess what? That'll get us to where we need to be. You know, right? I mean, just to get over now, like. This is not talking about signing guys, and we'll get to that on another episode here. But, you know, we got to get to that zero mark. That's the only thing we got to do right now. That's the big thing. It's a move that, let's be honest, you know, Gary passed him up, right? You could never have enough pass rushers. But, yeah, he's not living up to that contract. And now the thing with Preston Smith, it's really weird. If you look at his career, he's in every other year. Like his rookie year, came on the scene, played great. Next year, not very good. The year after that, I think he had 12 sacks. Then the year after that, he had 4 and was not very good. It's just been a really weird
career for him. But yeah, right now, I think that's a no-brainer where you move on and, again, you know, release him, let him test the market.
See what's out there. And then, hey, if nobody's biting, maybe you bring him back on a cheaper deal down the road. You don't know. Out of all of those, I think that's the one that should and probably will happen.
Yeah, it seems almost as maybe inevitable, maybe even more so than the Adams restructure, of course. But yeah, both of those two things kind of seem. So those are two guys making $16 million now that, again, for Preston Smith, that cap hit will be cut in half to just $8 million. Which, again, $8 million dead cap, you don't love it, but I see it as that's you're saving $8 million in cap space and you need that right now. So you just eat it. Yeah, you're paying him $8 million to not be on the team. That, you know, optically, that's not great. I mean, technically, Amos actually has another similar type of contract. I mean, you can cut him for only half, but I think the big difference, you know, ideally, if we look at this team, what we really want to do, Preston Smith isn't a starter. Adrian Amos certainly is. So, you know, just massive difference there.
Yeah, well, it's 12 overall, too, because you got to think next year, too, if you cut him now, you'll get the $4 million in the next year, too. So it's essentially if you cut him this year before June, you get the $12 million for the next 2 years, basically, off that contract. So like you said, it's not ideal. You're going to pay the guy a pretty good chunk if he's not on your team. But, hey, maybe, like, hey, we're trying to win here. You sit down and he talks and he realizes, hey, maybe something you can work out or move some of that money around. Like, I'm not the Packers accountant. I don't pretend to be, but yeah, like it's either a cut or we have to do something else. I just don't see him make that salary.
Yeah, you're right. They could restructure him too. Yeah, if he wants to stick around, like you said, you know, as a third pass rusher, a guy that's pretty good in coverage, you know, need him to be. Like kind of, you know, kind of how they were almost using Christian Kirksey at the end, not as the middle linebacker, but almost as a kind of hybrid inside outside linebacker. Maybe that's where Preston Smith's future kind of lies, but. You know, Christian Kirksey didn't make $60 million last year, right? So price adjustment too. And you know, he and Za'Darius Smith have been linked since the start. And it's actually Za'Darius is another one of those players. You can cut him and you save half the cap space. But again, starter excelling. I know that the impact, the number of sacks went down last year, but he drew so many more double teams. Teams really wised up to the things they weren't doing enough in 2019 for him to just dominate, and it opened things up. Like, you know, Za'Darius Smith, as much as, you know, you hate, and you know, you can see that as a tempting way to save money by releasing him, but he's, I think, too good, and they're, you know, the priority is still to win a Super Bowl. You want to get under the cap space to sign guys to help you with that. So you're not just going to cut guys like Amos and Smith, even if it's the money says you can feasibly do it right now. You're not going to do it if it hinders your team too much, because they don't have someone to replace those two yet.
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah. I mean, you don't cut your all pro. Like, I don't care about Pro Bowls, but you know, everybody's like, well, Za'Darius had a lesser, I guess, a down. I wouldn't say a down season, but not as dominant as the year before. Well, guess what? The year before. You're not going to have 100 pressures like that. That's out of this world. Aaron Donald's done it. J.J. Watt's done it. Now Za'Darius has done it. Like that doesn't happen. Right. So last year, he was the second most double teamed edge rusher in the league behind J.J. Watt at 28% of the time. And he still had a hell of a season. Right. You don't get rid of players in the prime of his career. You don't get rid of that guy. And the same with Amos. Amos, you know, it might not be sexy, but the guy is so assignment sure that he's one of the best strong safeties in the league. You got to keep those kind of players. What I was going to say right after the other thing with Preston, like another guy whose contract is one that you could move on, Dean Lowry, you know, like, and I like Dean Lowry, but have we ever said a game where it's like, wow, look at what Dean Lowry did last week, right? I think it goes back to his rookie season when he had that interception that he ran back to the end zone. Since then, it's like, wow, we paid this guy a pretty nice contract. And does he, I mean, he's a rotational guy. So that'd be a little over 3 million, I believe it would be if he was a cut. So I could see that cut.
Yeah. What I'm seeing on SpotTrack right now, $3 million dead cap on a $6.3 million cap hit. So save 3.5. So slightly more than half of it. So it's even better than the Preston Smith savings. But the truth is, like, you know, $6.3 million may not seem like a lot, but that's ninth right now on the entire roster in cap space. You tell me Dean Lowry is the ninth highest paid player. And of course, you know, Corey Linsley's coming off the book. So that's kind of what pushes, what elevates Dean Lowry up into the top 10.
The guy has no impact on the game. Like, that's what, like you said, you know, should he be in the top 20? Like, that's debatable. Like, I say no. I mean, I think you can find, you know, a role player for way cheaper, or, you know, something that can fill his shoes, because I think we kind of tried to phase it out. You know, if Kiki never got hurt, would you see Dean Lowry on the field?
And you look at who's just ahead of him, right? Like, I mean, Kenny Clark, his cap hit for this year is $7 million. So just, you know, 700,000 more than Dean Lowry. Like, that doesn't seem like that should be an extreme difference. And maybe that's saying Kenny Clark's coming in at a bit of value, but it does kind of seem, yeah, that if in a year where, you know, cap hits and a lot of players are probably going to get cut more so than usual, and every dollar matters, every $3 million matter, apparently. Dean Lowry does seem, you're right, Jesse, like another inevitable case. It'd be just ahead of Clark is Billy Turner at just over $8 million, right? Like, and these are the starters that are truly making a difference. Turner, similar to Elgton Jenkins, who, I mean, cap space wise on a rookie contract. So it's nice to have a guy like that making as little as he is. That's a great production. But for guys like Billy Turner and Elgton Jenkins, this is actually going to be super key for the Packers. And I think we'll talk more about the offensive line particularly, because it has a lot to do with kind of the next episode topic in terms of, you know, who the Packers are losing. I already referenced Corey Linsley, but just kind of the details on, you know, what they really need to replace and look into that, and who were free agents, who were restricted free agents. We'll kind of get more into that next episode. But just to say that, you know, the versatility of the offensive linemen in both Turner and Jenkins is going to be huge, because it's going to basically not pigeonhole the Packers into needing to spend up to get a particular player at a particular position.
Well, you know, it's fun for us to talk about this, but, you know, this is people's livelihood. I get it. You know, I hate it when someone loses their job, but at the same time, the NFL is a business, right? And that's, you know, to us right now, we're just, you know, throwing names out there. And, you know, a lot of these guys are talking about, they've done pretty well, and they will catch on with other teams. Like, these aren't bad players. Like, I kind of ragged on Dean Lowry a little bit, but he has a place somewhere. But, like, as far as these other guys, like, if Preston is gone tomorrow, he's going to be on a football team next year. You know, there's no doubt about it. None whatsoever. Like, Kirksey's going to find a home next year. Ricky Wagner, if he doesn't retire, somebody wants a guy like that. You know, even if he's not starting, he can play that swing tackle. Hey, there's your sixth man that can play football. Like, he's good, right? So these guys will find homes for sure.
And I think, you know, not that we're celebrating their release, but we're talking about the advantages of it, right? Like, and how this positively impacts the Packers. But regardless, like, you know, these were by all accounts great men for the communities. I know apparently Preston Smith did so much, but, you know, as did Dean Lowry and as did Christian Kirksey, and you know, these are good people for the community. Same with Ricky Wagner. And so it's gonna hurt to lose them as humans, regardless of the financial implications for the team, and if nothing but respect for those individuals. But yeah, this is the game. This is the NFL game in terms of figuring out the money, and maybe the fantasy football guy in me, the salary cap contract league player in me, you know, just loves digging into this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you're back to them as great humans. Like, you're right. Like, what these guys have done, like, even like in short term, like, these guys, you know, are really awesome in the locker room and good for the community. So anybody's going to be lucky to have them. And, you know, like Christian Kirksey, if he doesn't catch on anymore with football, I heard that dude play drums. He's awesome. He is talented. So he can do whatever the heck he wants after football with that.
Yeah, he'll be making his own beat. That's for sure. But of course, no one beats Aaron Rodgers in terms of cap hit. Like I've already mentioned it, $37.572 million. So, you know, over $37.5 million is what he's owed. Technically, they could save money if they released or traded him. Only saving...
Let's not go back to that silly concept.
And I think that was... that. Well, sorry, but that's kind of what I was going to talk about. But just the idea... I mean, last year, I mentioned it. I was kind of anticipating, okay, if something's going to happen, Rodgers not being on the team, it's probably 2022. But they're not going to... they're certainly not going to cut him to just save $6 million when you still have to eat $31.5 million for him not to be on the team, and you still need to find a quarterback. And I mean, I don't think anyone's ever suggesting release him. It's definitely the trade, because he is that great. You definitely don't release a player that good. You can get a lot for him. And there's teams that are just desperate for quarterback play, even if it is just for a couple years, that will give up quite a lot.
With Carson Wentz, the Eagles are in that situation now, paying $31 million, and the dude's not even on the team. Like, who won that? Right.
And I mean, they got what, a third and a second that could be a first.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even what they got back. I'm just saying, like, as a contending team, you don't want to deal with that. That's the biggest thing, you know, with Rodgers, where, you know, yeah, unless I don't know what the trade would be. I don't even think it's an option, but it's like, we're the window's now. The window is now. He's the guy driving it. If anything, you know, give him some security and maybe rework him for another year or two, where he feels secure that this is still his ship for the next year or two. You know, because you're right. 2022 would have been the year, hey, we can move on. We can bring in Jordan Love. Well, hey, his MVP year, let's push that back a year. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of options. And is he willing to do that? Who knows?
Yeah, and just briefly, it's a good point, because I was about to transition to that, so no interruption there. That's a natural transition, Jesse, but good pass over. Not like Wentz, but like Rodgers. And so you look at the cap hits next for the next 2 years, actually. So 2022, it's a $39.9 million cap hit, and they only eat $17 million of dead cap. You know, quite a lot, way more than double, way more than half of it. Like you save so much money. So it does kind of seem like it's in the Packers' favor to lower that, just to lower that cap hit neck for these next 2 years, 37 and 39 million. Can you push that close to 30? Is it, you know, even if you get to, because I mean, like, that's the thing, through the contract with the Packers, Rodgers hasn't had a cap hit that big. I mean, 29 million a couple years ago. So it is kind of a new adjustment to for them to take on that kind of money. In 2023, it's not bad, 28.3. If they can find a way to just rework it these next 3 years, and again, maybe extend him, give him a nice bonus that you can prorate over these next four, again, maybe 4 or 5 years, maybe, like you said, maybe you do plan it so that Rodgers and Adams end at the same time and you can move on from that era right then and kind of rework everything. But, you know, yeah, it doesn't, it's tough to envision the trade scenario. And I'm, you know, I have thought about it in my mind, like, okay, what are these people saying? Like, what would it take? And you got to think the Packers aren't doing it for draft picks. They're, like you said, Jesse, they're in a contending window. They want a quarterback that can win for them right now. So I think rather than the Packers trade him to accumulate value, there's one scenario that makes sense for me. And I'm not even sure it makes sense for the other team to do it, but can you reset the clock on a top five quarterback? It really makes the Jordan Love draft pick awful, but at this point you don't care anymore. Just because, like, a franchise quarterback right in his prime, right in his mid-20s, they don't move. They don't really ever say they're displeased and going to move. There's never really that much trade talk. And yeah, it's the Stafford trade, the Wentz trade, but really this offseason, everything's been watching what Deshaun Watson's going to do. If you're the Packers, can you shop Aaron Rodgers? And, you know, considering that where this team is, window right now to win, do you feel comfortable Rodgers giving up three firsts the next 3 years, knowing that you're probably going to make those firsts mid to late 20s, hopefully 32 at one point, to know that you're getting still a top five quarterback in Deshaun Watson, but you reset the clock 12 years at the quarterback age? To me, that's the only scenario that makes sense. And, like, does Houston even want that? Are those picks enough for them to move on him? Because you got to think they don't really want Rodgers caliber right now. Like, we saw what Deshaun Watson couldn't win more than four games with them last year. Could Rodgers get that Texans team to 500? Maybe. But even that's stretching it. Like, it would be by far the worst team he's ever been on. So I don't know that makes sense for the Texans. I don't know if that's blasphemous, me saying that from the Packers' perspective. But maybe I just think Deshaun Watson's that good. But again, to me, that's literally the only case I can think of. There's no other scenario that makes sense. Am I delusional with that one too, Jesse?
Okay, let's go into this dreamland right here, because you're not the only one that just... Because I'll do a scenario I thought too then after this. First of all, that'd be, oh my God, would Rodgers spit at Packer Nation if we did that to him? What evil people we are to, hey, let's send them to that wasteland that's Houston, because they're going to suck for a long time, right? And I don't even see why Houston would want to do it, which you said earlier. Like, does that make sense for them? Probably not. You know, here's Deshaun, turn back the clock. We'll send you some, you know, draft capital, but... Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, if that happens. So if I'm the Packers GM and Houston called and gave me this, hey, Sean Watson for Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if it would be three draft picks now, because that might be a little steep, but whatever, you know, just saying that, yeah, of course, Green Bay, guess what? We now have another elite quarterback who's younger, you know, and essentially we have, that's the only really swap in it other than future draft capital. Right. Because everything else is still in place. I'm sure the money is pretty close. I'm not sure. I don't know Watson's contract. But I mean, you'd think about it. It is what it is. The only other one that I would. Well, you can. Anything I said that you agree or disagree before I move on that.
No, I'm actually really curious to hear yours. So go ahead.
So, OK, maybe one or two cocktails too many, but I was, you know, I always look at these draft things because I think the Packers wouldn't mind having some draft capital. But I think Miami Dolphins are sitting really good. No, I don't want Tua, you know, but, you know, if Aaron Rodgers went there, you get their two firsts this year and then you add like a weapon or two. You know, if you could get Devontae Parker or if you could get one of those corners, they got two stud corners that are top of the line. I mean, top 10 corners in the league. you could get those. They're two draft picks and then maybe another draft pick, another first of the year after that in a second. Make that flip, right? Rodgers, if they can take all of that. And I'm not saying I wouldn't know who would play quarterback then, but you could find something. But if you got that talent with that draft capital, it might not be this year, but if you could hit with a quarterback, this team would be the roster by far is the best in the league. There's no doubt. I mean, it's not even close. That I don't know. And that will never happen. But like I always like to play these draft simulators and like, oh, man, the Packers get the number 3 pick in the draft and then they get the number 18 pick in the draft or 24 pick in the draft. And then they have more future firsts with that because I don't see Miami winning a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. So they're not going to be super high picks either. So which Miami's good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that opens their Super Bowl window immediately. They've got the defense for it. It's the wide receiver weapons. I mean, he doesn't have an Adams. Like that would be a worse wide receiver room for him. But they do also have a lot of cap space. And yes, taking on Rodgers' contract would, you know, take away some of that cap space. Maybe do we get Byron Jones after they sign that big deal? Do they kind of, you know, sacrifice him?
Or Xavier Howard? You know, we take him.
I guess that would also be fine too. I don't know if I necessarily want him on the Packers as great as he is. But regardless of stuff, I'm just thinking like financially, right? Because Jones does make so much. That would be something that if they were to take on Rodgers, they probably want to sign a big wide free agent wide receiver to go along with him. Because maybe Parker's good enough. Maybe Rodgers is that good that he could turn Devontae Parker into an elite wide receiver if Preston Williams comes back healthy. Maybe Mike Gesicki becomes completely unleashed. Who knows? But I would see them if they got Rodgers, if the Dolphins did that, I would see them with that defense as a Super Bowl contender.
They're up there, right? But at the same time, I think that opens up for us where you can bring Aaron Jones back, and then you got Dylan. You know, again, who's driving this? I don't know who the quarterback is right now. But then you have two elite of the elite corners on defense, and now you're just at the top of the draft. Like, you get another tackle and Sewell, or
do you... You get the best receiver in the draft to pair with Adams. Hey, guess what? You have Adams or Kyle Pitts. I mean, Kyle Pitts to me would be crazy. I don't know. It's let's wake up from this dream because now I'm getting too excited.
Yeah. So needless to say, folks, like, and even that, like, is that so much draft capital that the Dolphins would even want to do that? Do they truly believe in Tua? And if they do, they probably wouldn't do that. So again, all this to say, we're 99.9% sure Aaron Rodgers is not getting traded this year. Like, I think that's as much as like these dream scenarios we dreamed up because of so much draft capital or a top five quarterback in his mid 20s. Aside from that, like this team is set to win now with Rodgers. And yeah, maybe all of Packer Nation is mad at us now for even just speaking this into existence. But like, again, this is. When people talk about like, oh, you know, they should trade Rodgers and all this unhappiness, he wants to move. And first off, I haven't seen any reports that Rodgers isn't happy being in Green Bay. Yeah, was he happy with the Packers draft last year? It seemed like not, but outside of, you know, talking about, oh, I definitely had to go work on, you know, referencing all things he worked on himself because of certain negative situations. Never really even wanted to put it on them. But like outside of that, I haven't seen anything to say that he doesn't want to be back.
Yeah, I mean, if pissing off Rodgers gets you another MVP season out of him, guess what? I'm all for it because Green Bay is devoted to him right now. You know, it is what it is. Like, maybe, you know, the year before they're like, because he didn't play his best, but he was good enough. But then he bounces back after that, you know, which that was another scenario. Well, that we can do that another time. I was going to say, do you trade Jordan Love? You extend, somehow convince the Patriots that, hey, all those quarterbacks are gone and Jordan Love's better than Trey Lance and you trade them for their pick and now you have another number one and other stuff. Hey, and then you have Rodgers till, you know, the next 4 or 5 years and then you worry about your future quarterback later. That would be a fun scenario too, wouldn't it?
So, okay, well, we can get into a bit of talk about Jordan Love then. That would be theoretically, although again, I mean, with Trey Lance, yes, high ceiling, but FCS, like, are you really getting anyone, like, if you had the chance to draft him, is that really better than Jordan Love? The one thing about Love, and we don't know this is purely Matt LaFleur that knows this it only knows this. Was he really given a chance last year? Or was the plan the whole time just to redshirt him and Tim Boyle was going to be the backup?
100%. He wasn't going to get a chance. Why would you, right? I mean, why even throw him in the fire? There is no reason to. Unless Rodgers got hurt, that was the only way that he was going to back up somebody and, you know, long term. But yeah, I mean, it's perfect. It was a perfect scenario where there's no pressure this year for him.
Now, that being said, though, because part of me is almost, did the Packers make the right call trading up to get a quarterback and just take the wrong quarterback? Just seeing how well Jalen Hurts played. If Jalen Hurts is on the Packers right now, and it's the hindsight of knowing how well he did with the Eagles, I would feel much more confident in your plan with the Dolphins. I would then feel they've got the guy in Jalen Hurts. Obviously, they think Love is better than Hurts. They picked Love ahead of Hurts. But I don't know. I almost, was that too stubborn of Matt LaFleur to not give him a chance at all? Because part of me thinks, as much as the inexperience is there, could Jordan Love really not beat out Tim Boyle? And I mean, to be fair, you know, they kept Boyle over DeShone Kizer. It's just the talent disparity baffles me. Like, Matt LaFleur clearly has something for Tim Boyle, really likes Tim Boyle. I'm not sure why. I don't know what he sees in him. Because every time Boyle's come into the game, they just run the football and don't let him throw. That tells me they don't really trust him that much. So, to be fair, that whole situation with Tim Boyle for the last 2 years has baffled me. Because I really, in all respect to Tim Boyle, I don't get it.
Well, good thing about it, guess what? We didn't have to worry about seeing Tim Boyle this year. When he came in, the game was already done, right? So, like, hey, that's a good problem to have, where if it's Jordan Love backing up this year, he wasn't going to get in the game either. So, was it stubborn? But at the same time, I think it was just totally, you know, basically babying Jordan Love, saying, listen, we're not even... not even trying to put you in a situation this year. This is a red shirt year. So it is what it is. On the Jalen Hurts thing, when you go back, he really wasn't good. Like, I know we liked him and he was tough and he looked good in that first game. Then after that, he kind of sucked. Did he? I mean, he didn't complete, which granted, no offensive line. They were beat up and his receivers sucked too. So it's not all him. But that dude, did he complete 50% of his passes? I don't think so. You know, the book's out on Jordan Love, but I don't know if we got the wrong guy. Nobody knows, right? So nobody knows. It's a big mystery of who is Jordan Love.
What is love? No, don't hurt me, please. But I will say, we can share the love a little bit here, but truthfully, I think Aaron Rodgers' play really changed this entire narrative. It did seem, you know, I questioned it too. Was he ever going to get back to what he was before the collarbone break in 2017? And through 2018, 2019, it didn't look like it. Obviously, you know, got stronger. And I mean, he talked about in the interview at the Pat McAfee show, his final one of the season, he talked about how he structurally changed things with his throwing to give himself that strength. Something I guess he used to be conscious of, but kind of, you know, you forget about it, you get lazy, you think it's there automatically, and you realize you're not doing it as much as you should. And it is simply something as simple as just getting lower right before the release point. Obviously, that's a really crude rendering of it. Aaron Rodgers is a very intelligent person, so you should definitely go listen to him talk. I'd listen to him talk for hours, really. Because I did want to, the whole talk point of Deshaun Watson, I did want to kind of backdoor rant about something that technically does involve the Packers too. But before I get to that, I think the idea now is that if Rodgers really has gotten back to where he was and can seemingly keep this level going for a few years, I mean, you look at Philip Rivers recently, Drew Brees at age 37, at no point was Drew Brees ever as good as Aaron Rodgers, but like you could clearly tell the older Brees got and now seeming like the older Rodgers gets, that disparity's getting bigger. So is he going to be like Brady where he's probably playing till 45? I'm not sure. And I don't know if he can do this till he's 45, but it definitely seems like Rodgers can survive the age 40 cliff. Like Brady's kind of pushed that, I think, and made it go a little further. Unless what he really is doing is impossible, no one else can keep up. But it gives me hope that Rodgers can maintain this through age 40. And they can basically now, instead of thinking, The thought with Love was, oh boy, you got to get him on the field. The whole point of drafting a quarterback is to have him at, you know, you want that window, right? The rookie quarterback contract window. And that's when you got to be winning. So you need him on the field within the next 2 years and all this pressure there. But now that Rodgers really is playing that well, can we not view Jordan Love as just a high upside, long-term cost-controlled backup for the next 4 years so that if Rodgers ever gets hurt, they have, again, a guy that can kind of still run that same. If the offensive line isn't doing great, Love can get out of the pocket and throw on the run. At least at a college level, did that pretty well, threw with accuracy really well, which is one of Rodgers' biggest, strongest strengths, is that his accuracy is unaffected by his platform motion. He can throw from anywhere. He can be solid in the pocket or on the run, you know, jumping off his back foot, and that ball's still going 30 yards exactly where it needs to. Love kind of has that to his game as well. Obviously not to Rodgers' extent, certainly not at this point, but I think now that the narrative around it is they just have a solid backup for the next 4 years, and they can kind of just, it's almost like what they did with Brett Hundley. And when he got the chance, they're like, oh, he is so awful. We need to get him rid of him. Right. And maybe eventually we'll find out if that's the case with Love or if it's not the case with Love. But I think now that the narrative really has changed to where you don't mind if he doesn't start a single game during his rookie contract.
The short answer to your question is, Yeah. He's going to be the backup, right? This is the way Aaron Rodgers played. And if he can continue that, Rodgers even said this is the first time in his career he's never missed a practice. So the big thing is just keeping him healthy, right? Don't let him take hits, keeping him clean in the pocket, you know, minus the last game of the season. He had a pretty good run with that this year. There's no reason to believe he's going to hit this some kind of crazy wall, because all his intangibles are there, right? Like, what makes Brady great? More than anything, it's his brain and his leadership, right? That's why that guy is so good. Like, he can make all the throws and all that. He can. But that guy is a leader, and he's smart, and he doesn't make mistakes. And so does Rodgers. So even if some of the physical traits will go in the future, he's going to still have that stuff. So keep him clean. And then when it comes to Jordan Love, guess what? This is not your team until Rodgers says so. It is what it is, right? You know, at this point, you know, people, we should have done this and should have done that. Well, that's over with. We drafted Jordan Love, right? It's all upside now. Exactly what you said. It's all upside. And then if it's his last year, it was kind of like with Rodgers, you know, he didn't get his shot until it got real late. And then all that debacle happened, you know, with Brett, which we won't get back into. But I'm not worried about it. You know, Jordan Love leading this team right now is the farthest thing on my mind. Right now, the window is a Super Bowl in the next couple of years, and he's not a part of that equation. He's just not. And if he is, that equation's already busted. And that's not a rip on him. It just is what it is.
Jesse, you have been on fire this episode. Like, you won't even believe, and you don't even know how great it's been transitioning into things. Because, okay, so I want to actually get your thoughts on something first before we keep hinting at this, folks. This legendary rant that I'm going to have, it actually probably won't be that long. So with Deshaun Watson, right? We can circle back to that. Like, clearly, you know, you seem pretty, like, if we could make that happen, you'd want him on the team. So it seems like you view Deshaun Watson as kind of a model citizen, great franchise guy. I'm assuming you have no problem with what he's doing just because of how bad the Texans are and how he's really trying to sell a statement to, I didn't sign up to play on this bad a team.
I really don't. I mean, again, it goes back to Bill O'Brien. Like, you gave the keys to a jokester. That's like giving the keys to me. Like, if I can drive this into the ground, I just did. And, man, this kid's good, right? I would be upset. He should be upset. If he didn't say nothing, I would question his competitive edge. I really would. So I have no problem with it. And I don't think he's going in the wrong way about it.
Yeah, and so just, you know, in terms of, it's been model citizen as well. I think that's key to this, right? So as much as I'm all for, you know, the freedom of speech, freedom of expression, I'm also well aware of the limitations on that. Like, freedom of speech ends when you start discriminating, or not to say that this individual is doing that in particular, but just to say that, you know, there are limits to freedom of speech. And I also think, you know, certain people deserve to be in positions where they can speak, right? I mean, like, I can't just walk into ESPN and say, I'm going to talk now, right? As much as I feel like I'm pretty smart and able to, clearly not, right? Or else I would be. But, you know, you need to be qualified. You need to have a certain, you know, you need to be qualified. I'll say that. I'll end it at that. You know, and I don't know. I feel like playing quarterback in the NFL doesn't qualify you to speak about whatever you want just because you want to, especially if you don't really know the situation or know what it's talking about. As much as you appreciate what he did for the Packers, they won a Super Bowl, first Super Bowl since the Lombardi era, right? Like, incredible, right? Like, the run he had, the competitiveness, the Iron Man streak. Brett Favre is an idiot. Like, he really needs to stop talking in public. Like, there's nothing ever good comes out of anything he ever says. And this, like, this, the comments about Watson, just complete ignorance. He is not in that room. He does not know the situation. He blessed. Like, he had great teams all the time. Yeah, sometimes the Packers had 4 wins in a year with him, too. Like, so, yeah, I've lived through that. But it was, you know, it's just, okay, you get to the end of a Super Bowl run, and it kind of just cycles back through. Like, this was still a very smart organization that was always incredibly well-run, even when he went to the Vikings. You know, as much as we don't want to say it, like, that's a pretty well-run franchise. You know, you compare it to the other NFC North rival, the Lions, not so much well-run. We see that, right? So Favre has never been in this type of situation. And for him to start making moral judgments about Deshaun Watson, which, again, nothing but an incredible human. It seems like, you know, every time something happens in Houston, like, he's always there at the forefront of helping. I know J.J. Watt gets the, you know, probably the most praise for it, but Watson's there supporting as a community, charitable person, just a great leader, role model for everyone. Deshaun Watson's never sent a picture of his penis to a reporter. So, like, Brett Favre really needs to just stop giving his opinion about other humans, specifically humans who are clearly much better than he is. So it really, like, again, like, I know Favre's made, you know, certain comments over the last couple years, and it's all just the same ignorance. I know he was outspoken against the players kneeling. Just, you know, Brett Favre needs to stop talking, and people need to stop giving him a platform to talk. It baffles me that he's, like, because I, you know, one of the things about Brett Favre, he's, you know, big on special education, and, like, he does see, like, you know, he's a football coach in high school, elementary school, or whatever. Like, he does have some influence on the youth, but it's like, if this is the stuff you're teaching to them, like, at a certain point, influence is great, but it's got to be positive influence, and I don't think that's what you get with Brett Favre, and people just need to stop giving him a platform to speak. Rant over.
No, I don't disagree one thing. Every time that people keep putting a microphone in front of his face or whatever he says, they put it out there. Hey, guess what? Just dumb stuff sells, right?
Dumb stuff sells. And it's like, yeah, I just shake my head. I said this 10 years ago. I'm like, you know, like, Brett Favre just needs to go hang out on his farm and just disappear, right? Like, this is not a guy like you put on TV, or like Tony Romo, or even Troy Aikman. I know Packers hate Troy Aikman, but like, guys that can at least talk on a microphone and you can't just like almost throw up in your mouth. Brett Favre does that. Like, everything he says is like, seriously, dude, like, just go away. Thank you for the memories. You were a warrior, like you said, all that good stuff, but just go away. And you're right. Like, how can you say this about, you know, first of all, he must have dementia, because you held an organization hostage for as long as you were going to, and thank God Ted Thompson stepped in and said, you know what, we're going to move on. We're not sticking up for this anymore. And that's what Thompson did. Because if Thompson didn't do that, Brett Favre would have been able to play his game a little bit longer. And he forgets that when he says stuff of what he says about Watson, because it's not even close to the same thing. That's all I got to say about that crap.
Yeah, trading Aaron Rodgers to the Jets, gross. Ugh, don't even want to think about that. But you know what? And that didn't even occur to me, because it doesn't even go to that level. Like, whatever, you know, your career is your career, but that's the kind of thing. Watson's career is his career, so let him be on that. Certainly, because I don't know that Brett Favre's ever had a conversation with Deshaun Watson. So, like, I don't know how you can just start speaking about this guy in public if you've never met him and never actually sat down and talked about him. But, you know, as much as, you know, from all accounts, Troy Aikman's been a model citizen as well, other than maybe getting drunk in the booths before games, which I kind of actually have a big problem with. Like, that's kind of mad disrespectful. Okay, whatever, calm nerves. I don't care. The truth is, though, Aikman kind of fits in this category, right? Boomer Esiason as well. These guys were quarterbacks, but they just spout nonsense on TV all the time. Like, those are two guys as well that I'd feel like, what, like, they only have their jobs because of their status as quarterbacks. It's certainly like Aikman, quarterback of the Cowboys, like that big pressure thing. But really, like, every time they speak, I just, it's nonsense. It's gibberish. It feel like they don't understand the game and they really shouldn't have it. So maybe I was speaking earlier about, you know, people need to be qualified and stuff. It seems like those two aren't, but whatever, they were quarterbacks, so let them get away with it. And I also feel like that's maybe what's also enabled Favre, is just that quarterback mentality. Like, oh, these guys were quarterbacks, they're great. No, they weren't, and they aren't.
Yeah, I mean, no disagreement. Like, you know, yeah, it's just, hey, when you're the quarterback, right, you're always in the spotlight, so you think your opinion is the word, right? So, yeah, I take it for a grain of salt. I hope a lot of other people do, too. Like, listen, Brett Favre, when he spews something or I see a headline and it's clickbait, I'm not really even interested, because guess what? You know, all these situations are different. I don't blame Deshaun Watson for anything. And like we've said a few times already, that dude's a model citizen. He's done great things. He should be frustrated. The Texans aren't in any position right now to do anything. I mean, hey, look what J.J. Watt was frustrated. He went and talked to him. They said, you know what? You've done such great things for us. We're going to grant you this. They can do the same thing right now with Watson and get a whole bunch of draft capital and then try to fix this S storm that they got down there. Because guess what? They could have 100 first round picks. And right now I have no confidence in them ever getting out of this bottom, because it's going to take a long time for what, let's go back to him, Bill O'Brien did there.
You cut out. You say Esterby storm? I think that's what you said.
Yeah, that perfect. Yep.
Okay. We'll end on that note, I think. We'll blow out of here real quick. But, of course, if you have any rants or any issue with anything we said, yes, we're not trading Rodgers to the Texans or Dolphins. Just some speculation. Let us have some fun, folks. And, of course, you can have your fun, too. If you want to talk about any trade scenarios as well, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Also individually to us at Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app. It gives you access to all sorts of great written content that we have, including Jesse's recently released 2-part series, detailing actually quite a bit of what we talked about tonight, but going through position by position, mentioning some names we didn't mention today. So there's still some suspense there. So I definitely recommend people checking out both those articles. Packers 2021 preview, one for the defense, one for the offense. Both great reads, both a lot of great information in there. So good job by Jesse. And to get all that, to get all the podcast from Full Press Coverage, to get access to the Full Press Radio Network, you can get that for free on the Full Press Coverage app. So Jesse, any final thoughts other than trade Rodgers, no pack, no?
Yeah, no pack, no, go pack, go. No, yeah, just it's kind of a dead point right now, but it really isn't. I think there's going to be a lot of moving parts in the next couple weeks, so it'll be interesting times for Packer Nation.
Yeah, absolutely. And stick around, because we'll be going through it all here on the Full Press Packers Pod.